fellas slip out. Please be seated. Get me a glass of water. I've already been through one and a half here, but seem to have a little tickle, and that won't be good if I keep doing that. You'll get distracted. I'll get distracted. Hebrews chapter 11, as many of you know, oh, here we go. Calls cough drop. Amen. God bless you, young brother Howard. Thank you, sir. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter of the Bible. Some have called it the Westminster Abbey of God's Word. I like it's just called the Hall of Faith. Amen. I think also you can find, if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, a lot of people have called this chapter the great cloud of witnesses that God gives to us. This is our fifth message in the first 10 verses here. Our first message we entitled The Journey of Faith. And we looked at some things. We looked at the differentiation of faith. There's a faith at the end of chapter 10 that draws back unto perdition, and there's a faith that saves. Amen. They're different faiths. And then we talked about, thank you, Brother Ken, we talked about the description of faith, and I've given you what I think is a fantastic definition by a great preacher from Dallas, Texas. He pastored the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas for 55 plus years. W.A. Criswell is his name. And he said this, faith is the solid, unshakable confidence in God, which is built upon the assurance that He will be faithful to His promises. That's what faith is. Faith, could we put it this way? Could we put it just as plain as could be? Faith is taking God at His word. And listen, you'll never go wrong taking God at His word. Amen. Never will. And so we talked about the definition of faith and differentiation of faith. And then we talked about the decoration of faith in verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That Medal of Honor recipient that we have, Brother Gary Bykirk, he'll be with us again July 1st. Make sure you're out for that. Invite folks out for that. And we talked about how the president himself puts that medal around their neck and they decorate them. Hey, by faith, the elders got their decorations. The only way anyone is decorated in the sight of God is by faith. Works, filthy rags. Faith, amen. Faith is what pleases God, amen. And so we talked about, and then we talked about the deduction of faith in verse number 3. Through faith we understand, amen, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So in our second message, in verse number 4, we looked at the faith of Abel, and we looked at the way of Abel's faith, and we looked at the worth of Abel's faith, and we looked at the witness of Abel's faith, and we looked at the wonder of Abel's faith, that someone who lived in the Bible so many years ago, being dead, yet speaketh. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about it tonight, but our faith should not die when we die. Amen. Supposed to be passed on. Amen. In our third message, we looked at the faith of Enoch, found in verses 5 and 6, and we talked about there how Enoch walked with God by faith, and how he pleased God by faith, and how he was rewarded by God by faith. It says there, by faith he was translated that he should not see death. In our fourth message, we looked in verse 7 at the faith of Noah. And we talked about what faith did in Noah's life. It was by faith that he received the warning of God. God told him it was going to rain, and he believed God. See, folks, it's hard for us to imagine, but up to that point, it had never rained. It had never rained. A mist came up out of the ground. There was, I believe, I happen to agree with Henry Morris on this, Defender Study Bible, great expositor for creation. There was a canopy around the earth that kept all the harmful light out, and plants grew, and I believe it's going to be that way again during the millennium. That's just my opinion. But he received the warning of God, and something else that we learned was he walked with God. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He moved with fear of God. Can we say this, ladies and gentlemen? We live in a world, by and large, that does not fear God. We live in Christianity that does not fear God. You know what Noah did? When God said it and he said it was going to happen, he moved with fear. You know, I think of those of you that will take the time to pass out tracts. Why? Because you fear God and you know that there's a real judgment and a real hell. And it moves us, it motivates us. And then we talked about how Noah preached the Word of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. He obeyed the voice of God. He saved a people for God. You say, Pastor, I thought the whole world perished. Well, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they had three wives. And Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives got into the ark and were saved. Please know this. I love you people. And I mean that with all my heart. If you don't know that by now, you'll never know it. I love you people. But if all I accomplish in my life is seeing Carrie Zavodsky, Luke Zavodsky, and Eric Zavodsky get saved, I will have accomplished a lot. Amen. I know preachers that are great preachers, but their family's gone to pot. And listen, it can happen to me. My crop's not in yet. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Noah was concerned. He saved the people for God. He condemned the world by God. Let me just say this about faith. Oftentimes, faith can be hard to be understood. And even at times, hard to define. But the Bible is so blessed that it provides us with real people to illustrate faith. We need to keep in mind that these Old Testament characters were real people. Amen? These aren't just figments. It's not just story time. These were real people. Real people that lived. And you know what? They were just like us. They're made of the same stuff we are. They had sorrows. They had heartaches and difficulties. And sometimes they soared to the heights by faith. And sometimes their faith waned. Just like mine and just like yours, and all God's people said. It's important to realize that. So therefore, we can identify with these people. So it's an encouragement for us to read about their lives. Before we study their lives, we need to ask ourselves a question. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live our lives by sight? I remember when I early on tried to witness to my dad and was so burdened for him that I literally got down on my knees and wrapped my arms around his legs and begged him to be saved. And he said this, "I can't see it. I can't see it." Do you know there's a lot of folks that don't live for the Lord because they say, "I can't see it. I can't see it." Do you know something? I can't see electricity tonight, but I know it's working. Hey, I can't see oxygen and carbon dioxide, but I'm glad it's working tonight. I just poisoned the atmosphere, amen? Well, carbon dioxide, amen? Hey, I'm glad it's working. Hey, some things we got to take on faith. And the working of God is certainly one of them. The most predominant illustration in the Old Testament of what it means to live by faith, I believe, is Abraham. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "The father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham." He's called the father of the faithful. Did you know the three quote-unquote great religions of the world all trace back to Abraham? Christianity, Judaism, and even, as Brother Hayes mentioned this morning, Islam regard him as a prophet. How about this? What a title James gives to Abraham. James says this, "And the scripture was fulfilled, James 2:23, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." How was he the friend of God? By faith. By faith. Why? Because it is impossible to please him without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 6 of our text. God made a promise to Abraham, and he believed that promise and began to live a life of faith, of trust in God. Tonight and next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll look at the life of this great Bible character. Obviously, you could take a whole series of sermons on the life of Abraham. We're just going to do two. But look again at our text, if you would. Verse number 8. It says, "By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And went out," now think about this, folks, "not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Let me give you just a few things about Abraham tonight. Number one, we find Abraham by faith listening to God's promise. Listening to God's promise. And verse 8 there says, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whither he went. Do me a favor. Hold your place there in Hebrews. Go back to the book of Genesis, the very first book of your Bible. Book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Here's Abraham listening to God's promise. At the end of chapter 11, we find the genealogy of Abraham and his father Terah. Verse 26, it says, "And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram," as was his name, "Nahor and Haran." And it goes on to say these are the generations. And it talks about how Abraham lived in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. And then in verse number 1 of chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And by the way, this is still true to those of us who love the people of Abraham. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And we know, of course, that it was through Abraham that the messianic line of the Lord Jesus Christ came and all the nations will be blessed. But think about this, folks. I want you to think, first of all, of the sophistication. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees. It was near the Persian Gulf, not far from Babylon. It was highly developed in its arts. History tells us it was a well-organized system of government, and it was a complex religious system. The patron god of Ur was the moon god. And Abraham was reared a pagan. He wasn't reared in the fear of the Lord. He was reared a pagan, and he was a well-to-do businessman, and he had everything he wanted in life. But God spoke to him, and here's the thing, he was listening. You know, folks, I said it this morning, let me say it again. I believe God is still speaking. I just believe there's a lot of people doing this. They don't want to hear from God. Hard to believe that somebody who calls themselves a child of God wouldn't want to hear from God. But I can put it to you this way. How much time do you spend in your Bible? Say, "Pastor, I don't like that." That's how God speaks. He speaks through His Word. You don't want to spend any time in God's holy word. You might as well be doing this. I'm not saying that you have the time to be in there for hours and hours and hours and hours. But it's amazing how we can sit in front of the television and watch a 3-hour football game and it'll pass right back by like that. But to spend 3 hours in the Bible is a foreign concept. Hey, you know what? He was listening to God. The sophistication, something I love in this text. Not only the sophistication, but the suddenness. Back to Hebrews chapter number 11. It says, By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. The suddenness, the verb there for he went out, it's a word called exchromai. Exchromai, it means right away, absolutely right away. God said, "I want you to go, get out from your country and kindred and go to a land that..." And you know what? He went. He just went. Remember when Jesus was speaking and he told folks to, there was somebody that came, hey, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, well, the foxes have nests and the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And then a man came and said, I'd like to follow you, but my dad just died. And Jesus said, the first time you read it, it's almost a callous statement. He said, let the dead bury the dead. And what he was doing is he was getting past the shell of excuses. You know, when you break down an excuse is a first cousin to a lie. It is. And I like something Brother Kelly told me one time that his mom told him. He said, an excuse most times is a person who's too lazy to work. So they make an excuse. And people make these excuses. And here's Abraham, this great character of the faith. And the suddenness, you just think about it. God said, go, and he almost took off running. Well, we ought to be that way. Hey, listen, I can't say I'm perfect in that. I wrestle with God. God says, do something. Pastor Donald mentioned it in one of his messages a few Sundays back when he preached. And he said how God will speak to you and say, give that man a track. And sometimes we do this, don't we? We ought not to. Well, if God says do, we ought to do. Amen? God says obey, we ought to obey. God says go. So we see the suddenness, and then we see the spectacular also in him listening to God. Not only the suddenness and the sophistication, but the spectacular. He went out knowing not whither he went. So just imagine this conversation takes place. And listen, it's okay to laugh. It's humorous. So Abraham is sojourning. And merchants come up to him and said, what's your name? He says, Abraham. Where are you going? He said, I don't know. Now the merchant says, okay, we got a live one here. He says, well, where are you heading? He says, I don't know. So you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're heading. Why are you going? Well, God told me to go. Well, how will you know when you get there? I don't know. Think about that. Listen, folks, that's spectacular. That's spectacular faith. I don't know about you. Listen, when somebody has me to preach, and it happens occasionally, I'm going out to California this year. Pastor Tharp has asked me to come out and preach. But I don't just show up at the airport and say, one of these flights is going to California. They'll probably take me. No, I want to know this. 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 You know what, Abraham? The fact that God told him to go was good enough. Amen. I'll tell you what, spectacular, listening to God's promise, says that he went out and knew not where he was going. Now, so number two, not only listening to God's promise, but living by God's promise. Look at verse 9, please. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It says there they dwelled in tabernacles, and we would know that as by today as the word tents. They dwelled in tents. I want you to notice, first of all, his separation. God said, I want you to come out from your country and your kindred. And listen, the tent represents separation from the world. You know what? Abraham remained separate from the rest of the world's population. Abraham separated himself from the godless society that he had been reared in. And listen, the tent reminded Abraham of the temporary nature of his journey. You know, folks, again, this world is not our home. It's not our home. We're just passing through. And we talked about this morning how, and I'm so glad that God lays verses on us. You know, if this world were our home, the Bible would tell us to lay up treasure on earth. But it doesn't say that, does it? It tells us to lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. I was joking about the faith promise, but you know what that is? Treasure in heaven. It's what it is. It's what it is. It's treasure in heaven. Automatic given to missions. Treasure in heaven. You know, Abraham was separated. Hey, God help us to preach still. I know it's not popular, but God still help us to preach on separation. Still right to separate from some places, Christians. Amen? Listen, I know it's a veteran crowd. Most of you are separated, but it's still right not to go to some Christians. God help me. Christians still ought not to go to the movie theater that's filled with filth. And you want to be associated? You want to bring the Holy Spirit in to see that wicked picture show? I think not. Separation is still right. Still all right, fellas, to look like a Christian. Still all right to dress up for church. Ladies, still all right to be modest in the grocery store. Amen. Still all right to be separated from things. And we see Abraham's separation. Why? Because he was living by God's promise. Listen, this book commands separation. Oh, I'm not talking about Phariseeism. You ought to know me by now. Listen, the Pharisees, they loved to have those long robes and they dotted all their I's and crossed all their spiritual T's and they would look down their noses at people that didn't do things just right. Listen, here's our separation, folks. We separate to God first. To God. And when you separate to God, you will invariably separate from the world and worldly activities and things that will drag you down. Separation. Not only notice his separation, but I want you to notice his participation. It says there in verse number 9, he was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know what? Abraham passed his life of faith on to his family. You remember when God had made his decision in Genesis chapter 18, what he was going to do to Sodom? God had made his decision. Their sin was very great. And he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, if you read the book of Jude, it tells us why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude, I believe it's chapter 1. I know it's chapter 1, amen. Those of you that read your Bibles, you know what I'm talking about. It's verse number 7 where it says, likewise also, Sodom and Gomorrah, going after strange flesh, suffered the vengeance of eternal fire, being an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. You know, it seems to be the seminal political issue in our day is the pushing of the Sodomite agenda. And there's one bulwark against it, and it's the Church of the Living God that believes that book. Hey, we're not mean. I don't believe you ought to use all the wicked epithets that people use. Hey, just say what the Bible says. Amen. Do it in love. Speak the truth in love. But I want to tell you something. Abraham, as God was getting ready to destroy Sodom, he said this, shall I hide that thing from Abraham, which I do? Then he said this in Genesis 18:19, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. It says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Hey, you know what, fellas? Those of us that are young dads, those of us maybe that are just a little bit aged dad, you know what God ought to be able to say about us? Hey, I know him. He'll command his house. He'll pass his faith on to the next generation. Hey, by the way, that doesn't mean your kids will be perfect, but you sure want to see them in heaven. Amen. And Abraham, his participation was that his faith, when Abraham died, you know who still had the faith? Isaac. And I love the passage about Isaac. I believe, if I recall, it's in Genesis chapter 24, 25, where it says that Isaac digged again the wells that his dad had dug. See, it passed on. Oh, God, help us to pass our faith on. Hey, we may pass on whether we like U of M. And all God's U of M fans said, Wow, there's a bunch of you tonight. Amen. And God may pity you poor Sparties too. You pass that on. Well, amen. That was good. Only one laugh. And you know what? I told my kids already, you'll either like the Red Sox or move out when you turn 4. That's just the law. Amen. You know what? All that's fun and funny. But the faith of eternal life is a whole lot more important than any of those things. See Abraham's separation. We see his participation. We quoted it already. They're all expecting me. That's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know what? Abraham was listening to God's promise by faith. He was living by God's promise by faith. And then lastly, I love this. He was looking for God's promise by faith. It says in verse 10, how could he have the faith of verse number 8 to go out when God called him? How could he have the faith to sojourn in the land of promise? Not to have a home, but to live in temporary tents and tabernacles. And how could he do that and pass it on? How could he do that? For he looked, verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you know what Abraham never had? He never had a foundation. It's a tent. Listen, I slept in a couple tents in my life. It was not a foundation. Matter of fact, you sleep on a tent without a sleeping bag or something like that, you're going to find out real quick there's not a foundation. Your back's going to be cold. Amen. Back's going to be wet. He never had a foundation. Why? Because he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker of God. Two things about that look. It was a forward look. It was a look of anticipation. I think of you Christians that have been serving God all these years. And every week, when the offering plate comes by, you put in your tithe, you put in an offering, and you're looking forward with anticipation. Some of you have been doing that for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You're looking forward with anticipation. Because there is a real place. There's a real city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And He is going to reward His faithful children. It's a look of anticipation. Something else about it. It's a look of direction. You know, the racehorse. And I've not seen a lot of this, but the racehorse must have blinders on. Why? Because there's a lot of other horses to look at, to maybe get angry at. You know, male horses aren't real fond of other male horses. Amen? And same thing with female horses. But they put those blinders on them, and you know what? It gives them direction. Can we say this, folks? It'd be all right if we put on our anti-worldly blinders and just got focused on heaven. Just got focused on one day meeting God. And being, you know, and I've heard the saying, you've heard it. You know, you get to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Well, I've never met anybody who was like that so far. Everybody who I met who had their eyes on the prize was doing something for Jesus. So we see is a look of anticipation, is a look of direction, is a look of vision. Vision. Saw heaven in his mind. And I don't know about you. I try to picture heaven. I'm getting ready over the next couple of weeks, obviously, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. God gives us just a tiny, tiny description of heaven. I've tried to picture it so many times in my mind. What's it going to be like? I know this. It's going to be good. It's going to be so good that we can't even conceive how good it's going to be. Because I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Something else, it was not only a forward look, but it was an upward look. Abraham knew that there was something beyond the tent pegs that he drove into the sand. There was something better, something bigger. God must have told him about a wonderful city whose builder and maker is God. There's a great song. It's not in our hymnal. I was actually surprised. I went to look for it. I thought, oh, that'd be a good invitation song. But I've sung it as a solo before. And I think I could probably sing it a cappella. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eye shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I'll have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. I am waiting, longing, watching for that bright city that's soon coming down. Well, there's so many good verses to it. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter. No crape on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven. No envy and strife in the sky. Amen. The saints are all sanctified, holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart now is set on that city. And someday, its blessings I'll share. The last verse goes like this. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I'll join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcame sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city at last. You know what we find Abraham doing in these three verses? We find him listening to God's promise. We find him living God's promise. And we find him looking for God's promise. Hey, you know what that is? He did all of that by faith. You say, but Pastor, I don't have great faith. Listen, we're all in the same boat when it comes to this matter of faith. So many times, I feel like the man who brought his lunatic son to Jesus. And he said, Lord, I brought my son and thy disciples could not cast the demon out, the devil. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And he cast him out. And then the Bible says how the devil tore him and foamed and gnashed and came out. But you remember what Jesus said to the man? He said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And you know what the man said? One of the most profound verses in the Bible. I think where a lot of us live. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You want some help for your unbelief? Want to have greater faith? You say, Pastor, that's so simple. Listen, there's no microwave formula for Christianity. It's old-fashioned slow cooking. By the way, old-fashioned slow cooking is better than a microwave any day. I'm going to get preaching on food here. I better close it out. Amen. Hey, by the way, this is food. I had the privilege to meet a man yesterday, and I'll close with this. First door, Jordan Jones and I were knocking. It was cold knocking doors yesterday. I'm telling you. Not only were the doors knocking, my knees were knocking. It was so cold. And plus, we're at doors, and you never know who you're going to meet. And never know who's going to cuss you out. You never know who's going to take a track. We get to this door. A man named Brian came to the door. I mentioned it in Sunday school. He came to the door and I said, I'm Pastor Rich from Loomis Park Baptist Church and this is Jordan. We're out inviting folks to our church today. That's just usually how I talk to people, try to get in the door. He said, Loomis Park, I used to go there a long time ago, and the Lord just gave me boldness. I cut right to the chase. I said, well, let me ask you this, Brian. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? He said, you know, I don't know. Common response. By the way, some people don't know because they're not saved. We had two folks this morning come and say, I don't know, but I'd like to know. And now they know. But I got down and opened up the scriptures, and we opened up Romans 3:23, and we said that all have sinned, and he said yes. And we opened up Romans 6:23 and said there's wages of sin that must be paid, and he said yes, I owe it. And we got to Romans 5:8 where God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he said yes, Jesus has paid my wage. And then where I always say where the brass taxes, where the rubber meets the road is Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, would you like to do that today, Brian? He said, I've already done that. And then, again, God gave me boldness, Brother Lawson. I said, please, I'm not cutting you down, but then why did you say, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven? And he said, well, blah, 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 blah. And I said, let me tell you why. Let me answer the question for you. How often do you read your Bible? And you know what he said? I read it every once in a while. And I just take that to mean probably Christmas and Easter. Just once in a while. And I said this. I said, do you think you could survive physically if you only ate meals once in a while? He said, no. I need to read my Bible. Hey, listen, folks. If your faith is small in your own eyes, just decide, I'm going to get in that book, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege to preach the Word of God to these wonderful people. I pray that you'd increase our faith tonight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to have faith in God. To know that, God, that you do lead us. I think of Abraham, how he went out, and Lord, he didn't know where he would go. I pray that you'd bless tonight in this invitation time. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.